So what initially drew you to online education as a platform?
I think it was, I wouldn't say accidental, but it definitely, I didn't realize there was sort of any, I didn't realize any kind of earning potential originally. For me, it was more about, I saw a gap in learning. I went online, I think I had a dumb question, like all of us, you know, and I went onto YouTube and I asked the question, and the answers I got back were quite terrifying. Didn't really answer the question, and I felt like, well, there's an opportunity there just to help. And so it started off really quite subtly. You know, I did one video a week, and then maybe two, and then three, and then before you knew it, I was doing five. I didn't put any ads or anything specific on my videos for the first couple of years, and then I didn't really try any kind of traditional monetizing for at least 2 years. For me, I think there's a little bit of an altruistic motive. You know, I felt like it's a good thing to do. I feel like as a producer and engineer, I mean, I know you can see me. Obviously, we're on a radio show, but, you know, I've got lots of beautiful equipment. I'm blessed to have gold and platinum records from working with people. And I felt like this was a wonderful opportunity to give back. And at the same time, by giving back and helping people, I also grow, you know, I hate using this phrase, it's so American, but grow my brand. You know, because that's the reality, is like, you're either, as you said right at the beginning, you're either embracing it and you're there, or it's just passing you by. And it's been very interesting with the isolation that we're all going through at the moment. All of these people that frankly used to sort of talk down about this up until about 3 weeks ago are now scrambling to try and come online. And it is very revealing. I think you pointed out in your very eloquent introduction that that's exactly what's happening. It's now, you know, I think you're right. This might become the new normal. I don't think it's going to go away. The fact that everybody's now streaming live performances, interacting with their audience, taking Q&As, which they never wanted to do before, because let's be honest, the music industry is driven by, quote unquote, I'm doing the inverted commas for everybody, cool. You know, I've never cared about cool. You know what I mean? And I think that's probably another reason why I was able to sort of start doing this a little bit over 5 years ago, because I didn't really care what people thought of me. I just thought, I'm just going to start talking about how I do my job every day, how I record things, how I mix things, how I interact with artists. And I got a lot of pushback from other producers and engineers going, oh, you know what? I wouldn't give away your secrets. And I'm like, they're not secrets. I learned this from making records with people and looking over people's shoulders. And I don't like the idea that there's some kind of magic, when we all know that everything we do in life is about hard work and dedication and creativity. It's not magic. You don't just sort of wake up one day and you're a genius. Everybody's had to work at their craft to be good at it.
One thing you did point out there, Warren, and I'm sure everything with Produce Like a Pro is well above board, but you're seeking out answers online and you can find a lot of instant experts and very, very wrong answers there. The online world's a little bit notorious for malpractice. How can you discern a good online course from one that's a little bit of a scam or really doesn't have the backing that you might need?
That's a great question. That guy Gary Vee that is very, very sort of vocal online. The other day, I don't honestly have much time to research other people's stuff. But the other day, I think it was like 2 days ago, he put something up on Facebook somewhere online, and he was being in a big Q&A, and he basically said to the audience, he said 97% of the stuff I see online is total crap. So it's a good question you're asking. It's always been difficult because I don't believe in experts at all. Like when people start wagging their finger and telling you off, really annoys me, because you and I grew up listening to music made by teenagers. Let's be honest, you know, the best music in the world was written and recorded by people in their teens and their early 20s. You know, when Zeppelin did their first album, I believe both Robert Plant and John Bonham were 19 years old. So even by the time John Bonham died, he was only 31 or 32. Same with Keith Moon. So this idea that, you know, oh, I'm an expert, I've been doing this for 40 years. It's like, doesn't mean, we all know that's not what music's about. Not what art is about. Creativity is just, it's open to everybody of any age, whether they're 8 or 80. It's irrelevant. So experts do drive me absolutely nuts when they're wagging their finger. Especially that, you know, it was an Australian, wasn't it? What was it called again? The OK Boomer thing that came from you guys, didn't it? But let's be true. It's a big deal, you know, when you get like people say, because I love Zeppelin. Everybody loves Zeppelin. But I also like the Stooges. I also like Joy Division. I like Queen. I like stuff that's on the radio now if it's good. You know what I mean? I just love music. But this idea, these experts who know best, you know, John Bonham was the only drummer that sat. That's crap. We all know that's total BS. So I don't like the expert world at all. So one of the things I think the first sort of like barometer stink is when somebody is basically telling you they know, because I think anybody worth their salt, like Jack Douglas or Shelly Yackas, you know, the guys I've sat in rooms with and made records with that made the albums that we all consider to be the greatest albums. When they made those albums, they had no idea what they were doing. They were making it up as they went. Now at 65, 70 years old, they're still making it up as they go. They're listening to their artists. They're understanding, like, just think about it for a second. If you're a producer and you're working with an 18-year-old guy or girl, you don't know what they're going through when you're 65 years old in this modern world. They're a whole different set of experiences. So this idea that we know best is total crap. You know, if I want to write a song with an 18-year-old kid, I sure as heck better listen to what they're telling me, because they have experiences that I'm not going to have in a completely different world to the one I grew up in. So, yeah, that's the first thing I would say. As soon as somebody's like, starts off with like, are you bored with it? Have you noticed? And I'm going to tell you, and I'm an expert. That's usually the best way to run away. For me, it's just all about community and helping people. And if you can create a genuine environment where you really do care about people, don't care about people just enough to get paid. That's a bunch of BS. In my community that we have, I'm on there every single day. I'm answering questions. You know, I'm not a professional YouTuber. So if you go to my YouTube videos, I probably answer 75% of the questions that are on there. I go to the quote-unquote big YouTubers, and we know who they all are. They may answer one at the beginning, but there's a sort of sense of a, what do you call that? Like, I'm trying to think of the phrase. It's a sort of sense of like elitism, like, oh, people are coming to watch my videos, I'm a genius. It's like, no, they're not. They're coming to find out information. And it is our duty to get in there and get stuck in and roll up our sleeves and help each other. To me, that's what sells. It sells. Honesty, community is what sells. But, you know, That's what I'd be looking for, whether you're in music or, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, engraving, you know, house building, car repair. If you can find people that really care about you, have a feeling of community, answer your questions, give back, that's the sure as heck way of telling that something's real or not. If it's purely and simply like, buy my $2,000 course and you'll be a genius, you know, real estate, you know, mix like the pros, you know, even though the person mixing, the mixes don't sound very good. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. Some of the most successful people doing this can't actually do the job very well themselves, but they're teaching it. It's quite terrifying. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. I think there's a part of me, you know, being from the Commonwealth like yourself, we have that kind of, what would you call it? The Aussies have got it like the British times 10, like that, you know, you can smell it a mile away, you know, the, what would you call that sense? It's a Commonwealth thing, though, you know what I mean? It's definitely British, Canadians, Australians, Kiwis, we're all the same.
Bit of a BS radar, I would think. A bit of a BS radar yeah. For us, yeah. Just as a final point, obviously this is...
Plus we just don't want to talk ourselves up that much, you know. So it's like, yeah, I've worked with all these great people, but they're the great people. So if you're the assistant engineer on a big artist record, you know, you may have made them coffee and plugged in some cables, and you get to put your name in a credit. Even as an engineer, when I've engineered records, it's still the artist that people buy the record. Nobody goes and buys a record because Warren recorded the guitars on it. You know what I mean? So I've got to have a sense of no ego in this. We're as good as the people we work with.
Just as a final point, Warren, obviously, like I say, you've been doing this for a while with this Produce Like a Bro series. While others, individuals and big outlets are kind of being caught on the back foot by this huge change that could stretch on for months now, how do you see education kind of shifting from here? Do you see education shifting into more of an online space for these kinds of courses, or for really any kind of courses?
I do. I mean, yes, definitely. My kids, especially my son, is a little older. He just turned 13. He's still going to school from his bedroom. He has a camera on his computer, and his kids in his class, and they all get together and they have a teacher, and they're teaching them from home at the moment. And you realize that it's the same experience. I mean, part of the reality about sending your kids to school, of course, was to give the parents a break so they could either work a job or just have a break, let's be honest, and also so they can learn social skills. Let's not underestimate the importance of that as well. But ultimately, it's the present. I don't even think it's the future. It's the present. Berklee College of Music a couple of years ago started their online degree. You can get an online degree in music from, you know, America's best music school. And it's the same qualification as a standard degree if you'd actually shown up at their school. So I think it's here to stay. It's going to, I wouldn't say necessarily remove the school, the traditional school, but I think it's like you pointed out right at the beginning, people have just got to realize that it's not going anywhere, and it's definitely I don't know, it's not going to go anywhere. And to be honest, the information's so much easier and more readily available, because otherwise I'm going to go and sit in a classroom and have a lecture, and I might not actually walk away knowing what I want to know. But at least if I can go online, I can ask that question, you know, and there is hours, thousands and thousands of hours of information out there. But also, we have to be able to discern it.
Well, Warren, absolute pleasure getting you on the program this morning. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. Thanks ever so much for asking me. I love doing these kind of things. It's fantastic.